This recording is that of a seance with Silver Birch, which took place on the 23rd of February of this year, 1968.
May the power of the great white spirit bless you all.
Bless you, Silver Birch.
Let us, as always, put on one side all thoughts of care, anxiety, trouble, worry, or fear. Let us try to achieve the closest possible harmony with one another and in that attempt at unity approach the source all knowledge, wisdom, and truth, asking that some of these grains may be added to our own soul. Let us recognize that we are surrounded by evolved beings whose only desire is to increase our capacity to serve and help those less fortunate than ourselves. And so, with this aspiration, let us seek the benediction of the Infinite Power, which breathed its spirit into every one of us and bestowed on us the precious gift of life itself. Let us approach the source of all being with reverence, humility, and the desire to increase our knowledge of the universe, the natural laws which regulate, control, and sustain it, and of ourselves, who are a part of an infinite creation. We pray that all that we say and do and think shall give us a clearer understanding of the purpose of our own being, of the divinity latent within each, and that seeks greater expression so as to manifest untold richness, beauty, and the poor. In doing so, we draw closer to the author of all life and to one another, all made in the same divine image. spirit which breathed life into us has given us a common link, because throughout the whole of the world, all the children of the Great Spirit are fundamentally one in creation. The Spirit that enables them to live on earth and beyond is the same Spirit that makes them a vast family with a common divine parent. It is this sublime truth we seek to express, because it is a truth that is greater than all physical differences, obstacles, and barriers. It transcends all color, language, and nationality. It reveals that behind the surface of physical being, there is a common spiritual attribute that binds all people together in an unbreakable brotherhood and sisterhood. It is this vital truth that is necessary all over the world, because when it is appreciated, it will help to end all war, it will destroy the selfishness and greed and vested interests that are far too dominant in many lands. It will substitute the only true superiority, the attainment of the spirit, for the lower debased material standards that are far too prevalent. And as this understanding spreads, so the infinite pour of the spirit, with all its richness, its beauty, its grandeur, its love, its guidance, its healing, will manifest in fuller measure and drive out the darkness of ignorance, prejudice, and superstition that have reigned for too long and brought chaos and disaster in their train. This is the prayer of thy Indian servant who seeks always to serve. Who seeks always to serve. I'm very happy to come amongst you and to bring you my love and greetings from the world of spirit. And I hope that we can be of some help to you, so that you will feel it is good for us to have met for a short while.
That's a great thing.
There are no strangers here tonight, so There is no need for any barriers of any kind. I'm sorry the Vernon man is not here, Francis, lady.
Yes, I'm sorry.
Yes.
Philip Burke sent his love to you.
Of course. His love is always welcome, and you give him my love. I'm very glad to welcome you here, the little Lear lady.
I'm glad to be here, Peter.
It is a long, long time since I had the pleasure of talking with you.
Yes, I know.
And much has happened.
Yes.
But you are still guarded and guided.
Oh, I know that.
Held secure by love. But you have your troubles to go through. As is inevitable for all who dwell on earth. You know, I wish you could see your splendid boy and girl.
Yes.
Were they close to you, the boy even more than the girl?
Yes, I know that.
And your own man, who has been a tower of strength and a refuge in the many perplexities and difficulties that come your way. You are still There are still some shadows.
Yes.
But they are only shadows. And you will come through, even though the way is not so clear. There have been darker passages, little dear lady. When it seemed that there was no way out, but the light did shine, and the way was shown, and you have been able to replace grief and despair by knowledge and certainty.
Yes.
You know, you worry too much.
Yes, I know. It's ridiculous. Is that the cause of all the pain I'm having?
I'm afraid so.
That's what I've been told.
I never understand why those of you who have been enriched with knowledge should worry or have fear. Always create difficulties. What you have to do is to look back and see how the signpost of love has shown the way. and to know beyond any doubt that it will continue to guide. If you could banish all fear and worry, you would not have these troubles of the body, which begin in the mind.
Well, I'm very ashamed, of course, that
you said. Oh, I'm very glad to hear you say that.
Truly am.
Thus, at least penitence is the beginning of grace. This is the fight that you have to win for yourself.
Yes,
and nobody else can do it for you. There is no magical formula, no recital of any words, no acceptance of any theology. It is the exertion of your own will. It is the calling on the faith founded on knowledge that all will be well. You should awake each morning and rejoice at the opportunities it provides for you and banish any thoughts of apprehension that come your way. It has been difficult for you, and you have triumphed magnificently over much that would have caused others to be prostrate. So rejoice in what has been achieved, and let that be the incentive to go forward without any tremor of fear.
Yes.
I know it is easy whilst you are here, but tomorrow morning it will be a little bit more difficult. Your future is assured.
Yes.
In your world and in ours, so there's nothing to worry about. I wish that millions could be aware of the love that engulfs them as you are.
Yes. That's why I'm so ashamed, of course.
Yes. So you have the realization. Now you must put it to the test. And I can say to you, you know, little lady, that it does work.
Yes.
But when the spirit is right and the mind is right, the body must be right.
Mm-hmm.
Do not allow disharmony to envelop you. Assert yourself. Call on your latent divine strength and enjoy to the full all that life, both seen and unseen, has to offer you.
Yes.
Do you want to ask me anything?
No, you've answered the question.
Oh.
I was going to ask you.
How? No, you know I do not accept thanks. They all send their love to you.
Ah, yes. Mine to them.
This is one of the most crowded rooms I have seen, little girl. There are so many here tonight. I know you all have questions, but I must talk to my friends first. You do not object to anybody. It would not matter if you did. I would do it just the same. I'm very happy to have you here, Tommy Lady.
Thank you.
No, I do not accept thanks. It's one of the difficult things you will have to try to remember.
Well, I'm very happy to be here.
You have come through very well. Very well indeed. It's not an easy blow to face. But the compensation of knowledge is yours, and the assurance that death cannot separate those whom real love has united.
Now Gilbert is still with her, isn't
he? Oh, yes. Where else do you think he would be?
Well, I thought he might be somewhere where it was lovelier and he might have been happier, but I feel he's with me.
But he does not know of anywhere else that is lovelier and happier.
Well, that's wonderful.
And neither do you.
No, I know. I don't.
So you have the great consolation that he continues to share your life and will continue to do so. And he is, yes, very glad at the way in which you have taken over what was his biggest responsibility.
I'm glad of that. Can he give me any advice on it and help me at all?
Oh, you are doing very well. It's not easy, you know. But this is part of the plan, that you should use your knowledge and your experience to help in your own immediate surroundings so that another soul can play a bigger part. You understand?
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
I think I do too. Yes, I know. He loves you, and this is the most important thing of all. For love is the expression of the Great Spirit, and love will always find the way. All right, I'll tell him. He's seen you weep alone. Do not worry about it. It is natural. It is not easy to part from the physical presence of the one you love. This is only temporary, and it is not the reality which exists only in the village.
I realize that.
Is they proud of you?
Well, I don't feel very proud. I love him so much.
Yeah. And you know what he says? He says that he does not think he could have come through so well if it had been the other way around, because he relied on you so much, and he's still doing so.
I do with him too.
Yes.
He knows he has all my love.
He knows that, and you have all his, and It is that very rare phenomenon when two halves of one whole meet, you know. It does not happen very often, but you have great love there and continue to cherish it.
I will wish you.
And it will be the foundation for all the days that lie in front of you. Never consider that you are alone, because you are not.
No, I know that. He knows I'm not unhappy now. I was told it was selfish of me to be unhappy for him.
This is true, because when you grieve, it is your physical loss that causes sorrow. In the vast majority of cases, those who come to our world are better off. There's no more pain, no more suffering, no more illness, no more weakness, no more infirmity. This is the reward that the life in our world gives to the largest number who come here. Mm-hmm. He will always be with you.
Thanks for that.
Yes, and you have found a very good channel, he says. She is a very good instrument of the spirit.
Oh, she's about that too.
She always wants to come here too, little girl.
I don't do.
There's an instrument, an older lady. Do you want to ask me anything? Or have I covered the ground?
I think you've covered the ground for me, thank you. No, I'm sorry, I won't. I'm grateful.
Let us thank the Great Spirit.
I'm grateful.
Let us thank the Great Spirit. No, I was very happy to have you here, George, man.
Very happy to be here. Some little doubt and whether I'd like to come up beforehand, and, but when Wednesday and Thursday went by, I thought, well, it's now or never. So,
it was now.
Didn't look too good. And, however, we made it with 2 hours to spare.
I'll come back to you. I want to talk to the Ethel lady and her man. How are you both?
Fine. Thank you very much, Dr. Robert.
Why do you thank me? Because you are fine.
Well, I thank you for your inquiry, for your interest.
I
suppose.
I have a vested interest in you, son.
I'm glad of that.
Because you are helping me, and in return, we are helping you.
I know you are.
So it's a two-way system in which we are engaged. You know, you must not have too much exertion. You have been told.
Yes, I understand.
This is a very old story to them here, but I must say it again, the physical body is only a machine. When it is overworked, it show signs of it.
Yes.
And it is better not to overwork it.
Yeah, I understand.
What can I do to help you?
Well, I've got three questions here, so the first one I would like to put to you, the first one.
Is it difficult?
It's not difficult for you, I'm sure.
Oh.
In view of the outbreaks of war, strife and other disturbances in our world, is it possible to change all this by the power of thought?
No. It can help, but it can't change it.
Would you say that...
Wait a moment.
Yes.
Thought is a precursor to action. And wars are not... fought only in thought. They are, alas, very physical happening. You can invert the question and say that if the thinking of mankind was right, then there would be no war. What you do when you concentrate, either with individual or mass, united, combined thought, is that you seek to make an impact on some form of matter. The extent to which you can do so depends on a variety of factors, the chief of which is how far the target of the thought will be responsive to it. This is a difficulty because those who choose to wage war do so not from altruistic reasons, but for entirely materialistic purposes. Am I going too quickly from this lady?
No.
No, not for you.
No, not at all.
It's
quite all right.
Good. I have told them to put a little red light here when I go too quickly to stop. So, I would say nothing to discourage right thinking, but do not expect too much in the present stage of evolution. Yes, that is what I wanted to say.
Well, can I take a little bit further?
Yes, as far as you like.
Spiritual healing operates very often by the power of thought. Is that not so? And if the power of thought is so great that a medium can heal the physical body, is it not possible that the power of thought can be built up to such a strength that it can change conditions in our world?
Ah, dear boy. Son, you are a healer. Are you not?
That's so.
Yes. How do you heal?
I've done a lot of good by the power of thought.
Yes. And what happens by the power of your thought?
The person gets better.
Yes. But how does the person get better? Not because your thought has reached him. Oh, no. Because your guides have used the vibration of your thought as the bridge to carry the power of the spirit to the individual.
I agree.
It's not your thought that has produced results by itself. It is a combined operation in which the spirit power, which is the vital force, is able to work its security of will on the sick individual. That is what healing is all about.
Yes.
You cannot by your power of thought make some alone make somebody better.
I agree. Oh yes, I quite understand that. But cannot the power of thought, the spiritual power then?
This is much more difficult, son, because what you call the spiritual power is the great spirit, good, the divine, the life force, the vitality. Were this withdrawn, there would be no activity in your world at all. But it can work only in circumscribed limits. It has to flow through matter. And to do so, it must have a contact. It must have a bridge. It must have a channel, a medium. And the incarnate spirit is the means by which the discarnate spirit reaches the individuals of your world. It is your spiritual nature which provides the receptacle through which divine power heals somebody else. That is in the contact healing. In the absent healing, you provide the mental bridge, the vibration along which the power of the spirit travels. Do I make it clear?
Quite, yes. Yes, thank you.
No.
May I ask you this? Assuming the greatest need in our world today is for man to have a greater love for his fellow men,
yes,
and a better understanding of life.
Wait a moment, don't go so quickly.
A kinder regard for all God's creatures. Can you suggest how this can be brought about?
Yes. Very simply, self-regeneration, which every individual must accomplish for himself. There is no other way. You cannot transform the material scene overnight. Every individual must work out his own salvation by his own efforts, and there is no other way. You cannot compel people to love. They will give love when they know they have arrived at that stage in their evolution that it is right, proper, and necessary to do so. There is no shortcut to spiritual attainment. That is the way the universe works.
I understand. It's very helpful.
Good.
Mm-hmm. This is the third question.
Oh, you've had three.
It seems that a true brotherhood of man is the only answer to the many problems of our world.
That?
Would you agree with this, and if so, can this movement of spiritualism do more than it is doing to bring this about?
Oh, there's a great deal more. It could begin by having brotherhood within itself. That would be an excellent start, would you thought? The spiritual brotherhood, the spiritual family of nations, is a divine fact. For God, the Great Spirit, has made all his children of one spirit. There are differences of degree, but not of kind, in their nature. The material brotherhood of man will take a long time to accomplish. All that you can do and we can do is to point the way, show by example, spread truth. And whenever there are those who are ready to receive it, then the seed will fall on fertile ground.
I'm sure we all appreciate your answers to these questions.
Not at all. Does that end the question?
That is all I had to put to you.
Yes. And you are satisfied with the work?
Quite, oh yes.
You have plenty of requests?
Yes, oh yes.
Well then, rejoice in what you are able to accomplish. For as I told you before, you cannot measure what is being achieved. This is truly bringing light into the dark places of us. Not only the little light that I can give, but you have much illumination from others to convey. And you are reaching many who were hitherto inaccessible to these great truths.
That is so.
So, you know that there is a blessing on all that you do. You two little girls have questions?
Yes, I don't know who they're from, but I think they're
Are they any good?
Oh, yes.
Well, we've gone through them all before.
No, well, in some sort of way, but asked perhaps in a different kind of way. And the first one is, Silver Birch states that the law is perfect.
Yes.
And I'm inclined to agree with him.
That is very good. I hope his inclination does not lead him into difficulty.
I hope not. He goes on, or she, I don't know who it is. But what about animals? Recently I read that in Texas many heads of cattle had been killed by huge swarms of mosquitoes. Previously I had read of deer being driven to distraction by hordes of singing flies. What have the cattle and deer done to deserve such fates?
How does that affect the perfection of the law?
Well, I suppose he or she thinks that if the law is perfect, everything else
This does not follow. The law is perfect, but man has troubles. The little dear lady has troubles. Tommy lady has had her troubles. You have had your troubles. The law is perfect, but you have a weak body. The law is perfect, but human beings are imperfect and dwell in an imperfect world. There is always compensation, as there is retribution. The law will fulfill itself.
That means that we don't appreciate and understand the law.
Yes. And your appreciation is conditioned by the stage of your imperfection.
But I think the person who's written this applies it rather to when he or she says, but what about animals? And then goes on to discuss, you know, how animals have been
I see
killed.
More, but the fact that animals suffer from insects does not mean the law is imperfect. It is not the intention, according to the plan as I understand it, that the world of matter should be a perfect place. If it were, then evolution would have fulfilled its purpose. that you had come to the end of all growth. But evolution is part of the law.
This person makes the point that really that animals have done nothing to this deserve these things happening to them.
Wouldn't this question be likened unto so many others, like earthquakes and things like that people are homeless and millions are killed, and they haven't done anything to deserve it.
This is always, and I say this with the utmost kindness, an attempt to judge by imperfect standards. How can you measure judgment when only the earthly aspect of the life is visible to you? If at the time the little Leah lady was bereaved, you do not mind my using you as an example, at that moment the whole of life would seem unjust. But she has the compensation that life and love are indestructible. And this is one of the byproducts of